This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. If you'd like to email me your questions, topics of interest, comments, you could email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. That's also where you would submit questions for the weekly Intelligent Medicine podcast that I do with Dr. Hoffman, which is Q&A with Layla. And for those of you who haven't yet subscribed to our weekly newsletter, Intelligent Medicine newsletter, which is free, go to drhoffman.com and subscribe. It comes out about Thursday of every week into your inbox, and you may unsubscribe at any time. We write about the topics we discuss. We also discuss the topics that we write about, vice versa, because it's all about health, nutrition, wellness, medicine, all of the above. And I found some interesting things here. Now, do you have a gluten sensitivity, or you think it's a gluten sensitivity? What if you stopped eating gluten and you felt better? What if I told you that it wasn't gluten that was your problem? What if it was the fructans, not the gluten, that might be causing your wheat sensitivity? So if you've recently given up gluten, you feel better, that's great, wonderful. But do you know with scientific certainty that it's the gluten that was problematic for you? Maybe it was the fructans. So how do we come upon the fructans? We get 70% of fructans from the wheat that we eat. Now, we know that many people who are following a gluten-free diet don't need to for medical reasons. We know that it's been in vogue and all of that. And those people with celiac disease, of course, they must eliminate gluten from their lives. But many people have a non-celiac related gluten sensitivity. I see this a lot in my practice where they give up gluten, they feel better. No more brain fog, no more bloating, no more any. Well, what if that bloating was being caused by the fructans and not the gluten? What are fructans? Because many researchers believe that people who think they can't tolerate gluten are actually sensitive to fructans. Fructans are a type of carbohydrate that are composed of chains of fructose. They're actually a FODMAP, and you know FODMAP is the acronym for fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. So fructans are composed of chains of fructose, and fructose, you know, is the sugar found in fruit, also in honey. But there are also fructans in wheat, in onions. They're also found in another gluten grain, which is rye, barley, oats. Oats are not really a gluten grain, but they can be contaminated just via processing in the same facilities where they process wheat and rye and barley. Fructans are also found in artichokes, asparagus, leeks, garlic. Yeah, these are prebiotic foods. Did you notice that? For those of you who are regular listeners to this podcast, you know that artichokes, asparagus, leeks, garlic, these are prebiotic foods. These are prebiotic fiber foods that are beneficial for supporting your good flora in your GI tract, the microbiota, the beneficial bacteria. But you may have a problem with fructans, right? If it's causing you gas, bloating. So as humans, we have a limited ability to digest fructans in the small intestine. And what that means is they're still intact when they reach the colon, the large intestine where bacteria break them down. And in some people who are prone, this fermentation creates excessive gas and bloating and sometimes even diarrhea. And avoiding these symptoms means limiting daily intake of fructans. And how much do you need to avoid them? It depends on the severity of your symptoms. And most people on a FODMAP diet who are eliminating foods like asparagus, onions, leeks, garlic, right? And also any wheat or rye, because gluten grains are also a FODMAP and a source of fructans. So just as we don't all need to avoid gluten, we don't all need to avoid fructans. So, and then there's the confusion of those who have a fructose intolerance. Remember, fructans come from the composition of many chains of fructose. It's like an oligosaccharide. So, for most people, however, fructans have benefits for gut health and general health. And here are the major types of fructans. Inulin. If you remember several years ago, they started adding inulin to certain foods like jams, yogurts, all of these. But then people started having a problem. It could be that this fructan was problematic in your gut. So the major types of fructans besides inulin, oligofructose, that's a many-chain fructose, and fructo-oligosaccharides. These are FODMAPs, but they are also prebiotic foods that nourish beneficial bacteria in our gut microbiota. Researchers find that these fructans have antioxidant benefits and contribute to healthy blood sugar levels and immune system function. And no wonder inulin has been added to so many foods as a functional fiber. So you're saying, but wait, I can't consume these fructans because they cause me so much distress, gas, bloating, diarrhea. How can I feed my beneficial bacteria if I can't eat these foods? Well, it's possible that fructans are a problem for you because you may have some SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So once you take care of that problem, you get rid of the SIBO, you'll be able to consume these FODMAPs once again. You'll be able to consume these fructans once again. You'll be able to consume these prebiotic foods once again. Consider that wheat is a major source of gluten, right? It also contributes about 70% of the fructans in the American diet. So it's easier to understand why you feel better after eliminating wheat. And then that you may conclude that you had a gluten problem. Interesting stuff, right? Maybe it wasn't the gluten. Maybe it's the fructans. So avoiding wheat and other gluten sources when fructans are the problem is an incomplete solution, because symptoms will probably occur when other fructan foods, rich foods, are eaten. So try eating some leeks and onions and garlic and artichoke and asparagus. See if you still have the same type of symptom. And, you know, the difficulty with diagnosing food sensitivities is that the food components that provoke them don't exist in isolation. You're not eating just a piece of bread. You're eating it with something, right? You're not eating some leek. You're not eating some asparagus spears. You're eating them in combination with a meal, which may include maybe some pasta for you, a sandwich, something like that, when you're eating wheat. So another difficulty is that, unlike with celiac disease and another proven wheat allergies, there's no scientifically valid way to test for most food sensitivities. Elimination is probably the best bet. You eliminate the food, you see if your symptoms subside, and then at some time later, maybe after 2 weeks or so, you reintroduce that food and see what happens. So, people with celiac disease need to avoid gluten, which I said earlier, which is also, you know, gluten is found in rye and barley and triticale, your pastas, your couscous, all of that kind of thing, your breads. And people with wheat allergies need to avoid wheat. But people with what is termed as non-celiac gluten wheat sensitivity are in a dietary gray area, and this takes a little further investigation. So a group of researchers from Norway randomly assigned 59 people who did not have celiac disease but were avoiding gluten because they thought they had a gluten sensitivity. They randomly assigned these 59 people to eat baked muesli bars containing gluten, fructans, or neither, which was the placebo bar, for 7 days. The study was double-blind, so the researchers nor the participants knew which bars were being passed out during the study. And these results were actually published last February in the Journal of Gastroenterology, showed fructans were actually more likely to produce symptoms than gluten. 13 participants experienced the worst symptoms after eating the bars with gluten. While 24 reported feeling worse after eating the fructan-rich bars. Interestingly, 22 said the placebo bars bothered them most. I wonder how much of that is a placebo effect. That's very interesting. So how do you find out if you're fructan intolerant? Breath testing is a possible option. That would be the SIBO testing, which is actually helpful. Some people have luck eliminating all dietary fructans for a few weeks. And then if your symptoms go away, adding back the non-wheat sources of fructan. So stay away from the gluten source of fructans, but instead reintroduce the fructans that are your vegetable sources and fruit sources. So, and if your symptoms do return, you can likely deduce that the problem is fructans and not the wheat, not the gluten. So this is where it's helpful to have a consult with a dietitian like myself, so you can know with some certainty the foods to avoid. I want to talk to you about something else important today. Kidney disease is on the rise. Kidney disease is claiming more lives. Although fewer Americans are dying from heart disease and cancer, deaths from chronic kidney disease are on the rise, especially among young adults. Unfortunately, chronic kidney disease is known as a silent epidemic because many people don't realize they have it until the disease is at an advanced stage. This is a study coming out of Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. It's particularly concerning that chronic kidney disease is becoming more common in younger people. This is a remarkable move in the wrong direction. Deaths from cancer and cardiovascular disease have declined due to advances in treatment. but no major advances in the treatment of kidney disease have been seen during the past couple of decades. Instead, chronic kidney disease has risen across the country in the past 15 years and among those aged 20 to 54, a group in which the condition used to be uncommon. Overall, U.S. deaths from kidney disease increased 58%, from about 52,000 in the year 2002 to about 82,000 in 2016. Wow, that is concerning. The researchers suspect that the increase is at least partially due to high sugar, high salt diets, and the ongoing obesity epidemic. What happens when you're obese? You have high blood sugar. What happens when you have high blood sugar? You get diabetes. What happens when you get diabetes? You cause kidney disease. You cause your kidneys to malfunction. Right? What also happens when you're overweight? You have high blood pressure. High blood pressure, uncontrolled, can damage your kidneys. Unhealthy diets increase toxins that kidneys are designed to remove, which may account for the organs wearing out. Comes from a lot of our processed food, a lot of our junk food, factory-made trans fats, color lakes, all kinds of additives and preservatives which are problematic. The increase in kidney disease, in chronic kidney disease, varies by state. For example, while all states saw rising rates, they're significantly higher in places with the highest obesity rates, including Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and West Virginia. This is where the obesity rates are highest. And let me remind you again what obesity does. Causes diabetes. Diabetes damages your kidneys. This could be a reason for the rise in chronic kidney disease. What else does obesity do? It causes high blood pressure. Uncontrolled high blood pressure also damages your kidneys. Another reason for the uptick in chronic kidney disease. So this is all secondary to obesity rates, especially since they're citing that it's happening in these particular states with the highest obesity rates. So for this study, the researchers used the Global Burden of Disease database, which provides information about 350 diseases and injuries by age and gender, as well as more than 80 risk factors in the United States and other countries. And for this study, the researchers focused on the U.S. data by age from the years 2002 to the year 2016. They found that the rates of chronic kidney disease are increasing faster than the rates of all non-infectious diseases, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, chronic lung diseases, mental problems, and brain diseases. Wow. Wow. Okay. Deaths from chronic kidney disease among younger adults are still rare, but they are increasing, the researchers find. For people aged 20 to 54, the probability of death from chronic kidney disease increased almost 27%. From 100 deaths per 100,000 people in 2002 to 125 deaths per 100,000 people in 2016. Among those aged 55 and older, chronic kidney disease deaths rose nearly 26%. From 1,900 deaths per 100,000 people in 2002 to 2,400 deaths per 100,000 people in 2016. Public health priorities, policy initiatives, funding allocation, and advocacy efforts need to catch up to this reality that the burden of chronic kidney disease is rising and the speed of change now outpaces other non-communicable diseases. And a concerted effort, researchers say, should be made to put the brakes on this. Wow. This was reported online recently in the Journal of the American Medical Association, that's JAMA, Network Open. Wow. So another disease on the rise is chronic kidney disease. And I want to thank you for joining me now on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.